I was scratching my head a couple of weeks ago because I have dandruff. No, I was scratching my head because Bernie Sanders, the self-avowed independent Democrat socialist from Vermont, was now being described as a Democratic socialist feminist sexist. And I'm thinking, if there's any guy that's in politics today that I would think would be the least sexist, it would be Bernie Sanders. But that's what was laid on him because of a comment that his camp made that they'd consider Hillary Clinton as the VP. People perceive that to be sexist. I didn't. I think it's just what you say when you're in a competition, when you're already talking about whether or not you're going to win. Do you think Hillary Clinton is going to win? I consider her as a VP. That to me is just competitive. I don't see it to be sexist, but maybe I'm missing something. And to help me figure it out is Anita Findlay. The latest Dare We Say video at EpicTimes.com takes on the brogressives who use their power to fight female leadership. Anita Findlay, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jerry. So good to be back with you.
It's been a while. I'm trying to keep up with all these new terms. I got Movember. I got brogressives. I feel like a dinosaur sometimes.
What? Don't feel like that, Jerry. We're going to bring you to the 21st century. It's going to
take about
2 seconds. You ready?
All right, yes.
Well, you know, the brogressives, I did not coin that phrase, but I find it's actually helpful. If when I wrote Dirty Words on Clean Skin, you know, and I wrote about Hillary Clinton's last campaign, I wrote a lot about how it was the left that was attacking her because just some guys on the left happened to be pro-choice. That's not an automatic get-out-of-jail-free card that you can behave in a condescending manner to women in every other way. There are still men and women, by the way, on both sides of the aisle that bristle at the thought of a female commander-in-chief. And, you know, to be clear, I would not call Sanders sexist, but I do call Tad Devine and Jeff Weaver, the comments they made about the VP thing are sexist. And if I may, I'll tell you exactly why.
Okay.
First of all, you know, this started because she gave a very wonderful debate performance that people had acknowledged, you know, really put her back on top and so on. And they had discussed the gun control. And that's an issue where Sanders has a lot of problems because he's been kind of pro-gun in the past and has some questionable votes against the Brady bill. And so when Hillary Clinton made a comment, Sanders answered her by stop shouting. You know, we can shout about this all we want. I didn't take that as sexist on his part because he says that to everybody. It's ironic, however, he was shouting at her more than at Martin O'Malley, and he shouts at everybody. So for him to say a woman shouldn't shout is sort of ridiculous, and that is a double standard. But the real issue came up because Tad Devine and Jeff Weaver, who are his senior campaign operatives, after Sanders made this comment, they made a bunch of very condescending comments about Hillary's trustworthiness and so on, but they also said, well, we'd consider her for VP. Heck, we'd even interview her. Now, I want you to think for a moment the logic. Competitive is one thing. This is a woman who is in every regard his superior. She spent less time in government than he has. He's been there for 25 years. She passed more legislation in her 2 terms in the Senate. She is a very successful Secretary of State. Furthermore, she is leading him by 30 points nationally. So the premise, you know, is absurd on its face, that he is going to be considering her for VP. Of course, it's a manipulative comment. It's a silly comment. But why I feel it's sexist is it's a way of a man in authority looking at a woman, no matter how good she is, no matter how much she's accomplished, to say, yeah, I'll consider you for a spot under me. I mean, this is the definition of sexism, this kind of condescension. So in my view, this went beyond mere competition when you look at the sheer numbers between them. It was just absurd.
Yeah, I just didn't see it that way. I just, you know, it's like if I was running for the presidency and I was competing on the Republican side, which I wouldn't, but if I was, you know, people say, well, what do you think about Chris Christie? I said, I think he'd make a great attorney general. You know, I mean, I just see it as the competitive nature of the political environment that they're in, and I just didn't see it going her way as anything that could be perceived as sexist.
These guys were making around this. If you looked at the other condescending comments in the frame, it was as if they were saying, we will deign to do this. Perhaps I'm more aware of it, Jerry, because I remember even, you know, it still exists in the world today. I'm still on the receiving end of it. You know, I serve on a board with a man and some other women, and this guy has the nerve, when he's not even in the room, doesn't know the situation, to say things like, don't get excited. You're overreacting. You know, it's like they're classic terms to try to put down the feminine or discredit the feminine. And the thing that's odd was there were other disrespectful comments these two guys made that were sort of frat boyish. That was my problem with it. But, by the way, I want to commend Senator Sanders because he came out and disavowed it. He said these comments were inappropriate. So I'm certainly not accusing him of being sexist. I think they were.
Yeah, and I wasn't really appreciative of his disavowing those comments because it gives validity to people who didn't see them as sexist. And I was like he was going out of his way to try and placate something that a lot of people didn't see the way that you see it, but a lot of the guys don't see it the way women see it because guys are guys and women are women. So we look at things differently.
Absolutely, but let's talk about the word placate for an instant. The thing that I found fascinating is if you look at Bernie Sanders when he's out on the campaign trail, he had run afoul of some of the people who were loosely affiliated with the Black Lives Matter movement who protested him and gave him a hard time, and somebody in his camp apologized. He went on national television and said, yeah, well, somebody in my staff apologized. That wasn't me. So in a way, he disavowed that. My point is that this is not a person who placates. Whether you like Bernie Sanders or you don't, you know, he is not somebody who's, I'm not going to apologize, I'm not going to do anything if I don't think it's the right thing to do. And I appreciated that about him. So in that way, if he's coming out and saying those guys were acting like frat boys and what they did was inappropriate, I don't see it as placating. I think that he saw the point that they were making. And from my perspective, and maybe that's because I, you know, as a woman, I've been in the workforce since the wagon train rolled across the plain. But, you know, I've been doing this for so long, and when somebody makes these kinds of comments that are condescending, when clearly the balance of power is exactly the opposite, it seems like it's an insecure thing to do. It doesn't strike me as competitive. I think that's my point. And, you know, I'm very happy that you asked me to come back on the show. And it isn't about I want to point fingers and say, you're a sexist, you know, because I don't think we really get anywhere about that. I don't think that that helps us. I just, you know, I just want to have the discussion so that perhaps if you walk a mile in my shoes and you see how it feels when you are the more accomplished person and you have achieved more and you're 30 points ahead and somebody's talking to you like, well, you should be so lucky, I'm going to look at you. Of course that's going to be offensive. And, you know, you can perhaps you can understand why a woman might look at that and interpret it in a different way. I think that's the important part, is to understand where somebody else is coming from. Because if you only see things from your paradigm, well, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, sure you don't. You're not on the receiving end of it.
No, look, first of all, I like Larry David's Bernie Sanders better than I like Bernie Sanders' Bernie Sanders. You know, and again, some people would say, oh, you know, you're reacting to this like a woman, that you're hypersensitive to this. And I think that would be sexist.
But that's exactly what it is. This is something I just encountered where we had a situation just in my life where a woman was complaining about somebody in her sphere, and I know that this person was sexually harassing her. And some guy looks at her and says, you're overreacting. He was not even a witness to it. How does he know that? So it's this kind of thing that I'm talking about when a man, perhaps it's a guilt by association thing, and you and I have had many wonderful discussions about this, that, you know, perhaps that's what it is. There's a sense of, well, if she doesn't like this guy, then she's going to think I'm a bad guy too. And I couldn't disagree more. I think it's really important that we try to put, if there is guilt somewhere, put it over there where it actually belongs. And it's not necessary for a man to, you know, okay, I'm going to automatically have a knee-jerk reaction. You're overreacting. How about we not be reactive and slow down and hear what the other person is saying and say, well, gee, I wasn't even a witness to it. I'd like to hear what happened. And then maybe you'll have a different judgment than you thought you would. Is that possible?
Sure, it's possible. But to your point about how, you know, Bernie Sanders should recognize that she's up 30 points in the polls over him, you can't do that. Yeah, I mean, if your team is down 30 points, the coach is never going to say, look, guys, we're hosed. This game's over. You know, we would have never had the New York Jets at the Heidi fiasco where they went away from the game because there was only a minute and 47 seconds left, and then they came back and they found out that they had won. You know, we wouldn't have great comebacks, you know, if people just decided, well, here's the reality. Hillary's got more name ID. She's got more support. She's got more money. She's got 30 points on me. But I still want to be the president of the United States. You can't even kind of let that go into your head. But I get your point. Nita Findley with us on the program. Actress, blogger, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, 4 months, number one position, Amazon's Women in Politics list. When Barack Obama, back when he was squaring off with Hillary in for the 08 election, when he said, you're likable enough, Hillary, was that sexist?
I don't know whether it was sexist or not, but I don't want to even characterize it that way, but it was really condescending, and it hurt him. It really hurt him because people saw, you know, that's kind of the demeanor that is similar. You know, it does come across as sexist because women have a big problem, particularly in politics. This is exactly what I'm talking about. It's not so much about the remark itself, but it speaks to the double standard that women have in business, that we are supposed to cross some sort of magical likability, credibility metric, authenticity metric that men do not have to cross. And yeah. He says, so what do you mean this likable? And that is something that is devastating. And we're always asking, is she likable? I don't really see men having that same problem. I mean, you know, look, I like Bernie Sanders, but, you know, he sort of comes across as a grumpus.
Well, he's
a
curmudgeon.
I can't see anybody looking at him as likable. But, you know, to return for just a moment to what those guys said, what's more important is think about women are 53% of the voting electorate.
Right.
It does. I really respect your point about, of course, in a political competition, you don't want to acknowledge how much ahead of you she is. And that is absolutely true. But by the same token, to make a condescending comment like that will deign to look at you, that's just plain bad politics. That's
when Obama made that comment about Hillary, I saw it as dismissive, and I just said, this guy's a douche. You know, that's how I interpreted it. I didn't interpret it as sexist because I just thought he came across as a douchebag. Yeah. You're likable enough, Hillary, but you're not as likable as me.
And you know what? It hurt him. It hurt him, and it probably cost him New Hampshire.
But he's a two-term president, so he's going to say it didn't hurt me that much. He's hurting us now in a lot of ways and in some of his policies. You know, when I look at where we're at today politically and what needs to be done, you know, the whole kind of like the fight for getting someone elected because they're someone different or something different. I think there's a big sort going on right now, Anita, where people are just trying to figure this out. And I don't think they care if it's a man or a woman. I don't think they care if they're black or white. I think they care about who is best to be able to help set the tone. And you know about tone meetings in Hollywood as an actress. Help to set the tone that permeates the entire political existence like tentacles that feed out across the country that inspire people to want to be a part of the solution rather than the perpetuation of the problem. And I think unity is one thing, polarization is another, and Hillary Clinton is very polarizing, as is Jeb Bush.
I think that's a crack of crap, by the way. I couldn't agree with you. I couldn't disagree with you more. I'll tell you why very quickly. If you look at her real record, she has a magnificent record of working across the aisle, and Republican after Republican have come out to praise her. When Bob Gates, the defense secretary, loved working with her. Lindsey Graham has said magnificent things about her. So it's amazing, and there's more of these guys, you know, that the stuff sells itself, but when they're running against her politically, of course they're going to pretend they never made those compliments. So you have to look, Jerry, beyond politics and look at the reality of somebody's record and not buy the hype. That polarization is a Karl Rovian tactic.
No, it's not. It's not, because that's what we get from the media, because that's an easy sell. And I'm not talking about her politically or principally. I'm talking about what it is that the average person sees. because Hillary Clinton versus Bush is an easy sell back to the days of Clinton versus Bush. It harkens back to Whitewater and to Travelgate and to Vince Foster and all this stuff that they're bringing up that has nothing to do with what it is we need to do and address today. I just find that the conversation about that is polarizing. You know, and as far as people saying nice things about Hillary Clinton, who are Republicans, when John Boehner, when he was leaving, Nancy Pelosi, who hated him when he was the Speaker of the House, said he was, you know, the quintessential American dream story or something like that. And Dick Durbin was effusive. And John Lewis gave him a long embrace and standing ovations. I mean, you know, so history has a way of kind of like, you know, looking back on things a little bit differently than the way they are.
There's a difference about giving a compliment to somebody as you're sticking your boot in their behind when they're on the way out the door versus when you are really working with somebody in the trenches and you like working with them. So, you know, I can only respectfully suggest whatever anyone's politics are, that they really look at everybody's record and hear what the person actually brings to the table. And by the way, Bush is doing so poorly, I'm not at all convinced that he's going to be anybody's nominee, and I couldn't be happier about that because we don't need any more of him. I think he's a dull thud, so I don't, you know, well, I'm not convinced about all of that. But you know,
when he stops looking like he's going to cry, I'm going to say he has a shot. He's just not in the game. He just doesn't have it. I mean, you look at him, and he says something, and he looks at you like, did you believe that? And you know that when you've auditioned and I've auditioned and we got done with the scene, you're looking at the producers, you're looking at the director, you're looking at the writers, and you're going, did anybody buy that crap I was just selling? When you know it stunk. And you just, they say, do you want to do that again? And you go, nah, I really don't. It was just awful. And I think Jeb Bush needs an acting coach much more than anything else. I wish I had more time. Anita Finley, check out her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com. And her video series, Dare We Say, available for you at epictimes.com. This conversation will continue, Anita. I appreciate your time on the program. We'll do it again. Let's not make it so long next time.
You bet.
Not so long on the air, but so long between times on the air.
You got it. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure, Jerry. I hope you and your viewers have a great night.
You too. Thank you very much.